6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is She-Hulk Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Disney Plus show She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
This episode, we're covering Season 1, Episode 4, Is This Not Real Magic?
If you're listening to us on the House Podcastica feed, that's fantastic. But just so you know, we have our own podcast, the She-Hulk Cast. So if you can go over there and if you can find it, where podcasting is actually having a bit of a contest where you can win a Podcastica t-shirt, a Kirk Manley poster, and a hardcover Here's Negan comic book. We'll have some details on that at the end of the episode. After last week's podcast, we got some feedback about that we might have been saying that if people didn't like She-Hulk or didn't like female-led movies or MCU movies or whatever, that was just sexist. And that's not what we were trying to put across. What we were trying to put across is that there are some people who feel that way, who don't like shows with lead female characters, in the same way that there may be people who don't like TV shows with lead black characters. We are calling that out as sexism or racism. We are not trying to be ultra woke or whatever the case is. That's not the intent. We're just calling it like we see it. You can absolutely dislike She-Hulk or dislike a movie because you dislike the writing, because it was boring, because it's just not your thing. That's absolutely okay. And we're not calling you sexist or whatever. We are just pointing out the fact that it is a thing that does occur. And, it does seem that a lot of female led shows, which writing that we happen to enjoy, or at least I do seem to kind of get some of that feedback. There was one more thing about the twerking scene. I personally don't see any issues with twerking. I don't care. Some people say it is inherently sexual, and if they view it that way, that's okay. Sure. That's the way that you view it. It can also be perceived as an art form, and art is subjective, and everybody can have their own viewpoints of art. If you didn't like it, that sucks. Like, I'm sorry that you didn't like it. I'm sorry you saw something on TV that either offended you, or you're just like, no, that's not my thing. I really like off-color jokes. My mom, who I mentioned last week, doesn't. So she doesn't like shows like that or things that have that stuff in it. And I have to accept the fact that, hey, we can agree to disagree. I like something, she doesn't. And that's perfectly fine.
Thanks for saying that, Greg. I thought a lot about the feedback and whether or not we really were saying that if you don't like Captain Marvel, you're a sexist. I really hope that's not what we were saying. And if that's how it sounded, I apologize. Frankly, I thought Captain Marvel was kind of boring, and I don't love the character. I didn't love her in the comics, but I was so ready to love that movie, and I just found it okay. We were talking specifically in that case about the online comments that were pulled from real life to put in the show that said things like, why are all the girls, all the heroes girls now? And stuff like that. But if you like either see the show and don't like it, or you saw a trailer or a poster and said, I don't think I want to watch that, like, you be you. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is funny because last week I made a joke about, hey, all these tweets were, you know, actual comments from whenever. And I was like, that is 100% not true. Turns out that was 100% true. That those were actual Twitter feed or Facebook comments from when they announced that they were making the show She-Hulk, which I was like, whoa, Kirk Manley, who was on with us last week, he actually forwarded us the tweets about it. And I was like, holy shit. And I didn't foretell because it had already happened, but I was like, kind of guessed right. And that was kind of funny.
Yeah. And I imagine that there were some worse tweets out there that Marvel didn't put in the show. It is meant to be like, maybe not a show for kids, but like, you know, clean enough for a family to watch together. It's supposed to be silly and lighthearted. So I don't think they put in the like death threats and stuff like that. I'm also podcasting on the Rings of Power, and that show is getting a lot of trolling as well for casting people of color in some of the roles in Middle Earth. People say that elves can't be black and all this other stuff,
which is so ridiculous. Like, anyway, regardless,
the actors are getting death threats and stuff, and it really upsets me.
Which is absolutely, like as I said, as I think I just said, ridiculous. That's so bonkers. Anyway.
It's a TV show, people. Okay.
Yeah. It is, again, art, and it's subjective, and somebody can not like it, and that's fine. There's zero reason to be an asshole. Like, flat out, you don't, there's no reason to be an asshole. At all. Period. Anyway, moving on. Okay, now, back to She-Hulk.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff or the less shitty stuff. All right, so Penny, how did you like this episode?
Not my favorite episode. I thought it was really uneven. Parts of it were very funny and entertaining, and parts of it were really dumb. But it's not like I didn't enjoy watching it. I still enjoy the characters and stuff. It just wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
How about you?
I like this one more than I liked last week on my first watch. I think that as I watch it over and not over and over, I only watched this one twice, but, as I've rewatched it and kind of like dug into it and looked into, you know, paused it and looked at certain stuff or whatever, I really have enjoyed it more. I still think that some of the things that I thought were dumb. In general, I did enjoy it. I would say like I'd say 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's that's just my own viewpoint of it. All right, so moving on to breaking the fourth wall. What do we got, Penny?
The first one was right at the beginning of the episode. She's having coffee in her kitchen. She's in a comically oversized suit, of course, and she says to the audience, "You look happy. It's Wong. Everybody loves Wong. It's like giving the show Twitter armor for a week."
Which is, I think, hysterical that they are recognizing that, hey, this guest star, because Wong is awesome, we're not going to get blasted, but now we're getting blasted for other things, which I think they got rightfully so blasted for other things that I will mention later.
Yeah, there was some stuff that was legitly not great.
Yeah, and then after she, like, I do really enjoy the really short ones, like the ones that are literally just a look to camera. Like the, after she met with Wong, she just like looks at the camera and just like shrugs. She's like, meh, all right.
Yeah, Wong is a little out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She absolutely needs
us to identify with that.
yeah, it was, so then I think the next one was, as she taking selfies as She-Hulk, she's like, I'm not proud of this, but you know, a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Yeah. Oh, you know, there's another one. She said right after she posted her She-Hulk profile, she got a whole bunch of matches. Mm-hmm. And she was like, ooh, that's demoralizing for Jen.
Yeah, that was, oh, that's demoralizing for Jen. So yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then, of course, is there anything worse than dating in your 30s?
Yeah, I mean, there are, but that's definitely a difficult one. So I didn't know if this one, I guess this was her talking to us, but it was during the gremlin fighting scene where she's basically just, she's kind of like Spider-Man. She's just like quipping as she's talking. But she's like, you know, hey, you know, and he was hot. Not that like that matters, but it does, which is unfortunately true. But you know, this kind of the way that it goes, you know,
yeah, and and of course, in the morning when the hot doctor just ghosts her or bails on her, she says, whatever, hot doctor is a cliche anyway.
Yeah. Sorry, good.
Don't believe that guy was really a doctor. But
I mean, it was very funny that how over the top good he was as opposed to how over the top bad the other people were. But anyway, like the last one was, it was, you know, the last thing, oh, this is kind of a bummer way to end this episode. Oh, you know what? I bet there's a fun tag. And if you don't know what a tag is, a tag is basically the mid-credit scene or the post-credit scene or whatever. That's a tag. Basically after, you know, when The Office or Parks and Rec or whatever those sitcoms would come back after or either after or, during the credits. After a commercial break, that would be like what the tag is. So just for people who aren't familiar with that terminology.
Yeah. Should we get into our main points?
Absolutely. You want to go first? You want me to?
I'll start with, you know, my usual lawyer stuff.
Ah.
First off, the judge should totally have granted that preliminary injunction. That was wildly negligent. I don't think that it would go that way. I found the lawyer stuff in this episode to be, like, really ridiculous, and I had to just let go of wanting it to be realistic.
Right.
Like, they should have gotten Madison before the hearing and made sure she wasn't carrying a cocktail. Like, that was ridiculous, and they didn't really swear her in or anything. I don't understand what that was all about. But I loved when Madison was on the stand and she spells her name and then they cut to Blaze's lawyer and he has to scratch out that he spelled it wrong. I assume he put the Y where you think it is. and Jen's line of, oh my God, even the lawyer's a magician, was so funny. And then, you know, they show the three of them, Donnie Blaze and Cornelius and the lawyer, you know, all doing dumb tricks.
Right.
The judge telling Donnie Blaze to stop throwing smoke bombs, another great moment. And then my favorite, when Donnie Blaze is leaving the courtroom after kind of winning, which I don't think he should have anyway, and he says, I also have a bird. And then he does this scarf flourish and then flips them the bird. It was so smooth.
It was, I mean, it was, for as many bad lines as this guy had, that was an excellent one.
Yeah, it was fantastic. She says when she's fighting the bats or gremlins or whatever those things were, technically these are billable hours, which really killed me because you live and die by billable hours when you're at a law firm. A lot of law firms have billable hour minimums, and if you don't hit them, you get fired. So just like the fact that she would bill fighting is funny to me, and I wish I could have billed that. Wong doesn't get what he wanted in the end. Blaze agrees to the terms of the cease and desist, but Wong wanted to make an example out of him. I think he wanted a court judgment, so it wasn't really a win. And the thing that really drove me nuts at the end was the process server and the fact that Titania is suing her for trademark misuse, and misuse is not the right term. It would be infringement. And the process server shouldn't know what those papers are about or care. That's not how that works. And registering a trademark takes many, many months, sometimes years. So there's no way Titania has had time to do that. It all like annoyed me. I was actually a trademark lawyer at the beginning of my career. So I was like, ooh, a trademark thing. Oh, they're getting it all wrong. So nobody try to learn anything from the legal parts of this episode.
Yeah. So I'm going to provide my very minimal, we'll just say pop culture lawyer expertise. I'm just going to it makes sense to me that you could have said, hey, he can continue to practice magic, but don't make portals and then send people through them. Like, that's very specifically, you can do your illusions, but this one particular thing, don't do that. And if you do that, or if you're caught on film doing that, or whatever the case is, you will be caught in contempt, or you'll be violating this, or whatever the case is. Like, it's not that hard to be like, okay, I get it. He's just a bad magician. He does really crappy visual illusions. But don't do this thing that's, you know, real magic.
And dangerous.
And wildly dangerous.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, like opening a portal in a courtroom to a bar is probably not the smartest idea. Or, you know, into a maximum security prison or whatever. Regardless, like, I was just like, this is silly. And then with regard to the trademark stuff, like, it's not like she has business cards with She-Hulk on them. It's not like she's the one calling herself She-Hulk. Like, it's literally just, it's the public, right? It's a public acclamation that she is She-Hulk. And I keep meaning to go back and look to see who the interviewer was that actually, like, named her She-Hulk. I feel like it was the guy who was interviewing her in the second episode, or at the end of last episode, and then the same one from this episode, you Yahoos are the ones who... I think it was actually that in particular Yahoo. I could be wrong, but...
That would be extra funny if it was that particular Yahoo.
Yeah, and she's just like, no, you guys named this. Some idiot reporter was like doing, you know, just thought about it for 2 seconds and then did this. I feel like it was the same guy. It might not be, but I keep meaning to go back and take a look, but I haven't yet.
Yeah, she isn't using the name in a commercial sense, but it is a name that is associated with her. Trademark law is not meant to protect the owner of the trademark. That's a side effect of trademark law. Trademark law is designed and maintained in order to protect the consumer or the public's ability to know the source of goods or services. So the most important thing is whether or not it will be confusing to a consumer if somebody is using a name that they very much associate with someone else.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I'm not getting the quality of product from this because this person, let's just say, I'm just what popped into my head. I went to Retina Crafters and I thought it was Lens Crafters because Lens Crafters is, you know, a name that is synonymous with eye whatever. And they actually just poked me in the eye. So I can't, like, I didn't go there thinking, but if there was a place that said Lens Crafters, well, then they should be held to all of the requirements that a Lens Crafters would be held to. But Retina Crafters, they don't give a shit. That's just like I said, just the example that popped into my head.
But that's exactly the scenario that the law is meant to protect consumers from.
Right.
Is that you would go to a place called, you know, maybe Lenses Crafters or something like that.
Right. This sounds very close to it.
Yeah. And be confused and get service or goods that are not what you wanted and that you're harmed by that in some way.
All right. That lawyer stuff is always a lot of fun. As a non-lawyer, I like to kind of test what my thought processes are on that. All right, so my first point is dating stuff. So I have dated in my 30s after my ex-wife left. I dated in my 30s, and I didn't run into the same horror stories that I've heard a lot of people do. So my wife now, she talked about tons of horror stories about with regards to first dates and, you know, really, really crappy, you know, people with bad attitudes or not great manners, or go, you know, show up to their house and, you know, they're a hoarder and literally just stacks and stacks of paper or stuff or whatever. There are 9 dogs in this, and it looks like, Michael Vick's basement or something like that. I've been through a little bit of that. I did like the fact that Matcher is a cross of Match.com and Tinder, but using the mechanics of Tinder, which is swiping left or swiping right. It did seem like what it feels like is that they took, you know, just some relatively crappy stories, like polled 100 women and said, okay, what are your worst first date experiences? And then they took some of the, I'm not going to say the worst ones, because I mean, there are, if you've watched Parks and Rec, and Leslie Knope has had some really bad first dates, but took some that were just kind of like, oh yeah, that's just a really crappy, yeah, he's really self-absorbed. Maybe none like the guy before the hot doctor that was trying to figure out if she could be pierced by something.
I was not sure if that guy was just a weirdo or a serial killer.
Yeah, or maybe working for the boss.
That hadn't occurred to me.
So that actor has looked familiar. I feel like I've seen him in things before. I'm not 100% sure what they were, but I did find that, be like, oh, you're quite a specimen. Like, oh, come on, man. Like this, if you are actually trying to do any, like, he just seemed like a fanboy, right? He just seemed like a person who was like, hey, I went on an adult date with a She-Hulk, and, you know, maybe there are some possible, can I get powers from something else? But we did learn some things about Jen in that situation. You know, she is indestructible by anything on Earth, including vibranium, apparently.
She never answered that.
Do you have some?
She asked him if he had any.
Do you want to try?
The use of the word specimen just really creeped me out. I was like, yeah. Dude, are you trying to collect her? Like, what?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Oh, the guy who was like, I could deadlift 600 pounds and I'm not even a superhero. I think I've dated that guy. But he was like, I could have gone to law school, but I just chose not to.
Right. I mean, the one that bugged me was the guy who, you know, was sitting on his phone and she's talking about herself and he's texting. And I'm like,
oh, yeah, he was.
Come on. That would be like your 10th date, where you're not even listening to them. I did think that like, basically they didn't have Dennis in this episode. So they just had Dennis replacements, the chauvinistic or just shitty human beings. Oh yeah, I know downtown. I really don't like LA. It's not like that scene, but you know, I'm more of a New Yorker. Oh, how long did you live there? Oh, 14 months.
Yeah, he said he was a New Yorker through and through.
Yeah. I mean, just I'm just going to say that I met my wife on Tinder, and it's working so far. So I'm pretty good with that. It is possible, although my understanding is that you will not necessarily meet up with success every time. I'll leave it at that. But yes, dating in your 30s absolutely sucks.
I gotta say, dating in my 40s has been actually, it gets better and better. I think because I'm just more secure in who I am as a person. So if I go on a crappy date, it's just funny as opposed to being like, what's wrong with me?
Right. I think the self-confidence does have, as you get older, you become more comfortable with yourself and you don't depend on other people for validation, and you're just looking to have a good time or companionship or whatever. And if it doesn't work out, it's literally only one person that you will probably never see again, and it doesn't matter. Could it get disheartening after 30 or 40 of those? Sure. Yeah. I mean, that would be not the best, but, in general, like, at least you can go out and have fun.
Yeah. Usually you get a drink or a dinner out of it. I did think it was hilarious, the reaching for their wallets game that she played with that first guy. And then that he just pulled out his keys and bailed and left her with a check. I was like, oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. L.A. prices for drinks is probably pretty significant. And when she looked at the tab, even as a lawyer, as a firm lawyer, she's like, oh, God, are you serious?
Yeah, that place didn't look schmancy enough to be that expensive, but what do I know? And I did like the doctor called it swipe dating, which was a phrase I never heard before.
Right.
But it's the perfect phrase to describe that whole process. Which is now on other sites as well as Tinder. Everyone's adopted it.
I mean, so what they take out of that is that you typically would message back and forth, and it's not, you don't go from, oh, you're a match, to I'm on a date with you, because there are a bunch of psychos out there, and you don't go straight to meeting up with someone that, I mean, not everyone has an alter ego that is 6'7" and indestructible. I would say that there's definitely some play in that in the use of that, and she has a definitive advantage to, okay, fine, I'll go meet up with this person.
On IMDb, the date dudes were named Skeevy Guy Number One and Skeevy Guy Number Two.
That's pretty good.
It's like they don't even have names; they're just skeevy guys. I used to nickname my bad dates and tell, you know, I dined out on a lot of funny bad date stories.
All right. That's all I had for my first one.
I want to talk about magic.
Magic.
Magic. People are harsh on magic shows. She says at one point, you know, when she's fighting the gremlin bats, instead of kissing his hot face right now, I'm covered in demon goo at a magic show, which is the worst part of this whole thing. And I was trying to remember if I've ever even been to a magic show, and I don't think I have. There's this place in Los Angeles called the Magic Castle. It's a private magic club. It's been around for like 50-something years or something, and it's hard to get into. You have to have an invitation. Somebody has to sponsor you. You can go as a guest of a member, but like there's a process that you have to go through to do that. I've always wanted to go. I go to LA all the time, and I, for the longest time, didn't know anyone who was a member of the Magic Castle. Now I have one friend who is. And so next time I'm in LA, I'm going to put on the hard press to get an invite there. I really want to see it.
I believe, actually, that... Is it Magic Castle?
That's what it's called, yeah.
Is that what it's called? Okay. So I believe that the Mystic Castle that he was referring, that Donnie Blaze was working at, was actually kind of a ripoff of the Magic Castle.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But obviously, kind of like that trademark stuff, it's not the Magic Castle, it's the Mystic Castle, and it is neither Mystic nor a castle. I got it.
Yeah. He had some pretty sad audiences there.
He had some pretty sad tricks. You from behind him, you saw him disconnect the wire when he got done levitating. I was just like, oh, come on, man. You could be better than that.
Oh, yeah. And he threw the pole to Cornelius. Yeah. I want to know more about Cornelius. He is really a fan of Donnie Blaze, right? He's like, he thinks Donnie Blaze is like the greatest guy ever. And he just like hypes him up all the time. Yeah.
Amazing.
I want someone like that.
Yeah.
I want to know where Donnie Blaze got the sling ring from. I thought those were sort of hard to come by. It looked like it might be homemade, but I don't know why Wong, with all of his powers, doesn't just take it.
Yeah, he definitely looked like either stunted or misshapen or something. Maybe he snuck it out of Kamertage, so maybe he just left after, his keg debacle, and took it with him. But yeah, I don't know, but it definitely looked kitschy.
Yeah. But yeah, I really don't understand why Wong wouldn't just go to one of his shows and be like, give me that. Because when, I don't know, is this a spoiler for Spider-Man? Spider-Man No Way Home, he at one point takes Doctor Strange's ring and traps Doctor Strange in the mirror dimension.
I think you mean in the math ring. Dimension.
Oh, right, the math dimension. Sorry if that spoiled part of Spider-Man for anyone.
That's fine. That's like a third of the way through. And if you watch this show, you still got some other crazy spoilers from other things, regardless.
Yeah. Donnie Blaze was played by Reese Coiro, and I thought I recognized him, and I looked him up. He played Billy Walsh on Entourage, who was hands down the best character on Entourage, a show I'm a little embarrassed to admit I watched all of, but I did not watch the movie. His character, Billy Walsh, is this pretentious art film director who, you know, won't make any compromises for commerciality or listen to, you know, studio execs. He calls everybody suit who's not an artist. He's a great character. He was meant to be just a one-off character on Entourage, but everybody loved him so much that they brought him back over and over and over again. And he was really the best part of that show.
I enjoyed Entourage. Like, I watched, I think I've seen all of it. I did not watch the movie, but I watched them all underway. So they all just kind of bleed together.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. His name is Reese Coiro, and the director of most of these episodes, if not all, is Kat Coiro. It's a pretty unusual name. I don't know if they're related or not. I couldn't figure that out on the internet.
Yeah, I don't know. You definitely could take a look at that.
Yeah. And I thought Cornelius was fantastic. He's played by Leon Lamar. Like I said, I hope he comes back again. His last name, by the way, is Willows. It's just a great name. Cornelius P. Willows.
Nice. I thought that was it Cornelius Willows Cabinet of Curiosities? Is that what I thought I saw on the door as they went in and they were trying to give them the cease and desist?
Oh yeah, I think it was. So that was Cornelius's office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where Donnie Blaze likes to likes to hang out with him. I would not mind Donnie Blaze coming back again. He's a pretty funny character.
Yeah, he reminded me of Martin Starr.
Me too. Totally.
I was like, that's not Martin. He's already in the MCU. He's like a teacher.
That's right. He teaches at Peter Parker's high school.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He was an entertaining character, although obviously at least a little bit irritating.
Yeah. 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 But good at being irritating.
Yeah.
That's the end of my magic point.
All right. Magic. All right. So my second point is going to also be sort of about magic, but it's going to be about Wongers.
Wongers.
All right. So Wong in basically every line that Benedict Wong delivers in this is intended to be taken very seriously. Everything he says, none of it is, I don't think any of it is tongue in cheek. I think he means everything that he says. He's talking about being, you know, the accidentally unweaving the astral plane and all dimensions. He's being serious.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
He wants to make an example of Johnny Blaze. Sorry, of Donnie Blaze, not Johnny Blaze, a.k.a. Ghost Rider. He wants to make an example of him. He wants to send him to the mirror dimension. He probably wouldn't die. I think he's serious about that.
Yeah.
I don't think that anything that we were saying, that Wong said in this entire episode, he was completely straight with every line that he gave. And it was not unintentionally, the character was unintentionally funny, but obviously it was written that way, but he was an amazing straight man in this episode of irreverent comedy.
Yeah. I agree. He is delightful. I just don't want them to overuse him or tell us too many details about his life, because part of what makes him so great is that he sort of drops in and says hilarious stuff and then drops back out.
Yeah. I mean, just a couple of the cameos that he's had, you know, in Shang-Chi and, not really a cameo, but in Spider-Man No Way Home, like they're good because they're not all the time. Even in Multiverse of Madness, he was in it a little bit more. He was probably in it about the same percentage of that movie as he was in this one. And like there, he's like a kind of a main character, and seeing him here, I did think that the Twitter armor comment was awesome.
Yeah.
And almost like foretelling. But you know what happens when you get Twitter armor and you recognize it and you call it out?
You lose it.
You lose it, because now it's like, now we're getting too much Wong. But I mean, let's be fair, to me, at least, there will never be enough Wong. The unlicensed spinoff of Madison and Wong, or Madison and Wongers, I believe that, I think it was Jessica Gao was talking about trying to get a Halloween special with them together, which I think would be hysterical. Madison with, you know, a Y and two N's, but not where you think it is. I feel like her Halloween costumes would be, I'll just say, interesting. Yeah. And Wong's, again, his straight man to her is pretty good.
I love the idea of them getting together and watching, you know, sentimental, weepy TV shows together and like crying together. I think it's really
cute. I had to look that up. So that was This Is Us.
Yeah.
So I've never seen This Is Us. I was actually like, I don't know what they're watching. And I've watched a lot of TV, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I haven't watched This Is Us either, but it's famous for being a weepy.
Yeah, sack, very sentimental. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought I thought Wong was great in this. I did have a question about one of the things that he requested. Don't remember if it was in court or it was in Jen's office. The unlicensed. He said unlicensed practitioners shouldn't be allowed to do that. Is there a license when you go to Kamertage? Is like, do you get like a magic license?
Okay, so I have never seen the entire first Doctor Strange movie where they might address that. I always fall asleep halfway through. I've tried like 5 times to watch it, and it knocks me out. It's a pretty boring movie to me. I think they just, like, if you look a little bit past the CGI, they're just waving their hands around at each other all the time. It doesn't do anything for me, but maybe in that movie somewhere they would answer that question. But I've never heard of a magic license.
I will tell you, I really enjoyed Doctor Strange, and I've gone back a couple of times and rewatched it, especially here in the last couple of years. And you know, look at this. You don't like it, and I do. It's crazy. We can still be friends. I don't ever remember them talking about a license or, you know, a qualified person or whatever. I just thought the use of the word unlicensed was odd, given that we're talking about real magic, sorcery. So I just thought it was odd.
I would agree.
Anyway, so that pretty much finishes off my Wong.
Well, that dovetails really nicely into my next point, which is Madison King. I love her. I hope we get to see her again. I saw a cute picture on social media of her and Jameela Jamil in her Titania getup, and it was like, you're not ready for us, or something like that. And it just, I was like, oh, are they going to be on screen together? I got so excited. She's hilarious. At first I was like, oh, she's so annoying. I can't stand people like that. And then as I watched the episode again, I was like, oh my God, she's sweet and harmless. And she means well, and maybe someone should, you know, talk to her about her drinking problem. But I think her friendship with Wong is sincere. I think she really liked him. I think it was hilarious that she made a deal with a demon and kept the secret. She's like, I can't talk about it.
Except she told Wong, right? I mean, she traded her 6 drops of blood for her way out. She told Wong literally 5 seconds after she got out.
Oh, that's true. She did. And then she was holding up like what looked like a human heart.
Yeah.
She just dropped it on the floor. I was like, what is the story there? There was a cute drawing in the end credits of her like signing something with a goat named Jake.
Yeah, with Jake.
With Jake the goat. And then Cornelius was like, oh yeah, I know Jake. Which was like, what?
She was super irritating, Waters. But yes, there were definitely parts that I did enjoy.
When she asked him if he had any yak milk like around so she could try it, I was like, ew, that's going to be really disgusting. And then he said, I think we have some leftover from the wedding. And I was like, is wedding an Easter egg? Should we know who got married? Like, what wedding was this?
The only one I'm familiar with was Christine's wedding in Multiverse of Madness. And I don't know where that falls in the timeline.
Mm-hmm. But that wouldn't have had like food and beverages left over.
Yeah,
from,
that's true. He's at Comfortage, right?
Yeah. I assume his little lounge area he had there with the like groovy music and his cigars was at Comfortage. I liked the room, although that couch didn't look very comfortable. It was like wooden back. When he's laying on it at the end,
I was like, I don't know if that's comfortable. Oh, they had a blanket as like a pillow.
Yeah. And he was like hugging the pillow. It was really cute.
Was Madison wearing a Snuggie at the end in the tag?
I think it was a teddy bear coat. So I've actually really been wanting to buy one of these for myself. It's a faux fur, basically like a hoodie, but it's usually longer than a standard hoodie, and it's made out of faux fur, and it's like cozy and warm and cuddly. And there's nothing I want more on a cold day than to be like wrapped in faux fur. I've just never found one that I liked. They always seem to be in colors that are not good for me, like beige. When I find them. So I'm going to keep shopping. It looked adorable on her and cozy.
The actress is Patty Guggenheim, I think is her name.
Yeah.
I mean, she's stunning. I mean, I just.
Yeah.
It was LA, right?
Yeah.
LA or Vegas or something. For a mid to late 30s, maybe early. Okay, you know what? I'm just not even going to say ages at all because I suck at, you know, guessing women's ages. But for a club scene girl, was she wearing a romper at one point on the stand?
Yeah. And then she does this like little curtsy when she gets off.
Yeah, she curtsies with the romper, which is like,
she's absolutely
beautiful.
And she hands her drink to the bailiff and she's like, you can finish it if you want. I'm not sick. The bailiff looks at the drink like, I don't know what to do with this.
Again, I'm just going to say that after my second watch or during my second watch, I enjoyed her jokes more, even if I was still rolling my eyes during them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she's another one, you know, she's supposed to be a little irritating. That's
right.
That's the point of Madison. And then she wins you over in the end.
And then she becomes endearing, even if she's still a little bit like, she's not even obnoxious though. She's not a Dennis. She's not a female Dennis.
No,
she's just that girl. And you do eventually start to enjoy her character, or at least I did.
I did. Yeah.
And the fact that I feel like she's obviously, well, I say so obviously, I think she's very satirical of that, that club scene girl that I did tend to enjoy her a little bit more towards the end.
Yeah.
I
hope she comes back.
Yeah, me too. Anything else with regard to Madison?
No.
Okay. All right. So my last point is don't spoil TV shows. we are doing our best to not talk about Marvel related stuff. I mean, we have to talk about some of it. But the Sopranos and the stuff that they spoiled was, if you haven't watched the episode, you're listening to us just because you like it. Great. That's fantastic. Thanks for listening. Go watch The Sopranos, for God's sakes. They spoiled some major, I mean, I get it. The show's been over for 17 years or something like that. I understand it's been out for a long time. There's not a statute of limitations on it, but, God, like it's not even like the fade to black or the blackout, the very end that everybody's heard about and whatever. It's major stuff. And this is one of those things where I think Twitter is absolutely, absolutely right to be upset about.
Watched The Sopranos. So for me, those were legit spoilers.
Yeah, those were like season 5 and season 8 spoilers. And it was horrific for me to be like, I was like, oh my God. I actually had just listened to an interview with one of the stars that was mentioned in this. One of the actors that played one of the stars. And I was like, man, like that was a really rough episode and things happened. But oh man, this, you know what? The internet is right. Don't do this to completely unrelated, amazing television. I feel strongly enough about this. I'm wasting an entire point on this.
I don't blame you. It was annoying. And The Sopranos hasn't been off the air that long, and it's definitely a show that people care about deeply. So yeah. Choosing to spoil it, they must have known it would make people mad.
Like, maybe it's part of that hey, we need this Twitter armor because we're going to do something horrific to the internet. I don't know. Like, this is us a bridge too far. Been a stout defender. I love the humor. I enjoy I really enjoyed Tatiana Maslany. Some of the choices are, I think, you know, a little bit maybe poor is the wrong word, but just not my style or whatever. But like, this is one of those decisions where you're just like, hey, what can we spoil, during this? What can Wong be upset about, upset enough that he is going to, want to like basically shut down Donnie Blaze. Oh, he got spoiled on The Sopranos, so he's effectively suing. He's not suing, but I need to make an example of him because I got spoiled on The Sopranos. If they had said that, I would have found it funnier. Mm-hmm. But
they could have very easily made a show that was clearly meant to mimic The Sopranos. They could have called it like The Altos or something like that, or The Trebles, and then just made up fake spoilers.
Made up names. Yeah, and absolutely.
Everyone would have understood the joke exactly the same way.
Yeah. That is a really, really good point. I didn't think about that as an option, but I mean, like these are real stakes with a phenomenal show. And okay, off of my soapbox. All right, so that's my last point. I've just got some notes. How about you?
Me too, notes. I'll start. Finally, they addressed the wardrobe. Nikki said, we need to get you some new clothes. I'm like, yes, I'm tired of the boxy gray suits. They are boring. And now that Nikki has said something, I'm hoping that will lead to some action. There's a new promo out for the final 5 episodes of She-Hulk. I didn't watch it. I don't want spoilers myself, so I didn't watch the promo. But maybe in that promo they even dealt with the wardrobe. I don't know. Something has to happen because I can't keep looking at those boxy gray suits. They're ugly.
I do think that that Tatiana, that Jen being in those suits is funny.
Yeah, that's funny. But they could do that with a stylish suit that was oversized as well.
I mean, that's true. All right. Anything else note-wise?
Yeah. When Jen looks at her phone, the background picture on her phone is Captain America's ass.
I didn't catch that.
I had to rewind and pause and, like, you know, look at it several times. And I was like, oh, that's what that is. And I was like, of course. She's a Captain America groupie.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It was it was the perfect thing for her to have on her phone. I thought it was so funny.
One of my notes is with regard to her phone as well is my, like, probably my favorite kind of tongue in cheek. They're like, her phone goes off and it says, "You have zero matches." Like, why is that even an alert? Oh, I was laughing hysterically shortly after that because I may have missed the joke after that because I was laughing so hard. Because yes, that would be ridiculous. Why are you even telling me that I have zero? I thought it was great.
It's like on election night, whenever there's an election and I'm staying up to watch the results, right? There's always like breaking news. Wisconsin is too close to call. And I'm like, that's right. Not breaking news. Like, don't interrupt whatever else I'm doing and tell me that you don't have information. Like, that's...
Yeah. That was good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the Mark Lynn Baker stuff was great.
Yeah. What do you need a shovel for? Digging. All right, Dad. Thanks. Yeah, very short, very, very short appearance, but he was good.
Yeah, really cute. I mean, what dad wouldn't want to come and, you know, protect his little girl, even if she's a Hulk?
Yeah.
It's very sweet.
All right, so a couple of my notes. Actually, I think I've covered most of my notes, but I'm going to go through the things that I found entertaining on Jen's to-do list.
Oh, okay, great.
So we have, Mrs. Pete, talking about, I believe that was, Megan Thee Stallion, versus Runa and looking up likeness, precedents for imitating, Miss Pete. There were some Easter eggs in here. So, Kraft versus Soul. And I'm just going to tell you, say the case names, but those were a couple of the writers of She-Hulk back in the 80s. Lee versus Byrne. So Stan Lee created She-Hulk. And is it John Byrne?
Yeah, John Byrne.
John Byrne was one of the, you know, one of the more prolific stories writers during Sensational She-Hulk. The Jansen class action suit. I can't remember his first name, but Jansen was he wrote Daredevil for a while, and we have not seen Matt Murdock yet. Get purple and green highlighters. I think it very specifically said get highlighters purple and green, which obviously to me referencing the Hulk's green skin and purple pants. Get a big and tall membership. meet Nikki in the bathroom at 11:47. And I'm assuming it was the poop toilet as opposed to the don't poop here toilet.
Yeah, why would they meet for that, though?
Yeah, I didn't really understand. I mean, I don't think you're supposed to, but it was just – and then it was like – I think another one was – well, one was like feng shui her office. yeah. And then another one was – like, basically, it was clean up the to-do list, and it said 2 hours for that. I thought that was pretty funny. I'm going to give myself 2 hours to clean up my to-do list. And then the last thing, the one thing that she actually had checked off, or she checked off when we saw it, was make her matcher dating profile. And like, you know what? Hey, this is the one thing I got done today. I've been there. Hey, let's do the easy stuff. Oh, and make it real easy by just tossing your corporate picture onto your dating profile. Funnily enough, my wife actually on Tinder, that was her picture. It was one from her business, from her resume. So that was actually kind of funny.
I think her corporate picture from GLK&H would be as She-Hulk, though. I don't think that they would
that's
have
true.
Taken a corporate picture of Jen. That's but maybe true. She had a head, and they called it a headshot. It wasn't really a headshot, but I've done that as well. I had one really, really good ID picture once, and I got the file from the law firm and used it on a dating profile. It was just a really good picture of me.
No, I mean, like, hey, when you get a good picture, you take advantage. I mean, I'm not going to say they're few and far between, but when you get a really, really good one, like, it's, you take advantage of it. I did really not quite understand how, I get it. You went to bed with She-Hulk and you woke up to Tatiana Maslany. I mean, she is a beautiful lady. Having her making you breakfast, like, I wouldn't have liked it because I don't like eggs, but I'd be like, I will have your bacon. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, squeezed orange juice.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she was so unpracticed at squeezing the orange juice and, like, she basically just destroyed the orange in the process, I thought it was pretty funny.
And it's not like he didn't know she transforms back and forth. They talked about it.
Yeah.
But I thought that guy was just a player. I thought his whole, like, shtick was just, he just collects women by being sensitive. He know it's a game. He says the same things to every woman. And he just, and I think pediatric oncologist, he probably took a poll of women in a bar. Like, what's the profession?
What's the saddest thing that I could be doing that would make you feel the best for me?
Yeah. Like, what would make you want to sleep with me? And came up with pediatric oncologist.
I mean,
it's like unimpeachable.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to be like? Oh, hey, let's talk about your work. Oh, I try to help kids with cancer. Like, I'm not saying he was lying. Maybe he was, in fact, a pediatric oncologist. But a lot of his lines were very, it was basically like out of the handbook of how to get someone to sleep with you.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me more about how you felt about that. I was like, oh, God, it's just so over the top. And maybe that's the intent. Maybe it was intended to be satirical. But I was just like, oh, God, Jen, can't you see through this? I mean, and maybe he was actually the best guy in the world, and he just felt betrayed because he woke up with someone he didn't go to bed with. Maybe I am being overly analytical about this. But then it's also Jen Walters, who is not, I will say, is not a 6. I mean, I would say at least a 7.
Yeah.
But, I mean, given that Dennis thought he was a New York 10 and an L.A. 11.
I forgot maybe, about that.
maybe the scales are a little bit skewed.
Also, if your type is like a woman who's wearing like tons of makeup and flashy, you know, mini dress, then you're not going to like Jen Walters and you're not going to think she's a 10 because what you're looking for is just a completely different yardstick.
Yeah, I mean, the other part to that is that when you wake up with someone who is really heavily made up, they don't look the same. Like, they look very different, not just in the light of day, but, you know, when makeup is off or whatever. I mean, I'll tell you what, her in just that shirt, I was like, is she transformed right now? Like, that's not covering anything. Was that his shirt? Was that his sweater?
No, she threw the sweater.
Oh yeah, off to the side.
Off to the side.
She looked phenomenal in that. But he's like, "Who are you?" I mean, okay, I get it because you never saw her. But like, you would figure like, "Hey, why wouldn't guys want to date me? Like, this is my picture and blah blah blah." Like, I don't know. Maybe that's not your first date material. Anyway.
Yeah.
Any other notes?
Just I thought it was funny that there was a free Titania movement. I assume we're going to learn more about that next week.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see more of Titania and Jameela Jamil. She's one of my favorites. So, all right. If there's nothing else, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. There's more to come. right, and we're back. So we didn't really have any news this week. We kind of mentioned a little bit of it up in our points. But that moves us on to listener feedback from Facebook. Penny, go ahead and take that first one.
Our first one is from Derek O'Neill, and he says, without doubt, the funniest episode so far this season. Loved Madison for the few minutes we had her in the show. Excellent background character. They really get the balance right on this show for me. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this one. I hope Greg can forgive them for the payoff on last week's Wong joke. He's late because he's so invested in binging The Sopranos.
That is fair. However, now he doesn't need to because it's been spoiled. But I did think it was funny that he moved on to This Is Us after The Sopranos got spoiled for him. From Spencer Bailey, they're slowly getting Shulky where she needs to be. I hope this is the last episode with Wong for a while. I'm ready to see more Bruce, maybe Crusher Creel, the Absorbing Man, and the main squeeze of Titania. I didn't realize that he was that he and Titania were together. This would also be a great platform to introduce some other characters. Alicia Master, her father, the Puppet Master. I think Clint Howard would really do really well in that role. Mole Man's always a favorite. Any of the Fantastic Four would be great. Rumor has it that Wonder Man is being eyed for his own series.
I am not familiar with all of those characters. Now I'm going to have to look them up.
So I'm familiar with Mole Man. I'm familiar with Puppet Master. Alicia Masters was who Kirk mentioned last week. I believe that was who Kirk mentioned last week, who was the girlfriend of the Thing, of Ben Grimm.
Oh, really?
And Wonder Man was kind of I can't remember if I'm thinking of Justice League Wonder Man or who was like Mr. Fantastic or not, but anyway.
And I know Crusher Creel because that character showed up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah, he's the Absorbing Man.
Yeah. Bob Oakes says, Madison with a Y, it's not where you think, was unexpectedly funny. Wongers made me laugh out loud. From now on, that is the only way I will refer to him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's Wongers forever.
Yeah. John Bucket, Wong tearing up at This Is Us. Loved it.
Jamie Dimmick, I want to go for bottomless gin and tonics with Wongers. This was the most fun episode so far. It was cool to see real magic versus fake. I was cracking up when they made the bunny appear from behind the cloth. And of course, the bird too. Ha ha. Two little laughing and crying emojis. Hopefully she can find someone to date because dating in your 40s sucks more than your 30s.
I'm sorry, Jamie. That sucks. The fact that the lawyer was just pushed the bunny to behind the cloth, I did think was over the top and funny. And then even they were still like, oh, it's a bunny.
Man, she should be disbarred.
She was not very impartial. We got one email from Alex Baelish. I love how the show is so tongue-in-cheek. When Jen looks to the camera saying what we are thinking, it makes me love it more and more. Despite what some people said about Disney when they took over, how they were going to ruin the MCU, they're giving other characters a voice in a fun way all around. This episode was great with Wongers. Who knew he was a Soprano fan and so sensitive? I could see Madison and him having their own sitcom in the 80s right after Perfect Strangers. I love how now he needs her as a lawyer for Donnie Blaze and then needs her to help fight the demons was the best. I just wish there was a little more substance on the other storyline about the blood. Who is this group or person to make an army of Hulks, I guess? I hope they don't rush that in the last episode. Since it's a limited series, who knows if they'll make more. I will say Tatiana Maslany is killing it, so she could carry any show. Last thing, Penny, don't kill me. As a guy watching this with a young daughter who likes to watch this, I love how strong, smart, powerful, and vulnerable she is. Showing all sides creates good TV. I'm still up in the air about them forcing the point of it's a man's world so much. On one hand, I can't imagine what women have to endure on a daily basis. I know it must be challenging to say the least. It should be shown for kids like my daughter as well as for men to see. But at what point does it get too cliche or overused? Like the guy at the bar scene, like, was that necessary? I don't know. P.S. Dating does suck in your 30s.
We did get one voicemail from Steve Brown, but we're having some technical difficulties, and hopefully we'll get those fixed and maybe play it next week. Sorry, Steve, we really wanted to hear it.
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it, and we will see what we can do to get that in next week. All right, and now on to the most important section of the podcast.
The Marvel question of the week. So last week I asked, what's bothering you? What about the Marvel Cinematic Universe do you not like? And we got very few responses. I was kind of surprised by this because usually people love to complain and gripe and hardly anybody wanted to. So I'll just read the two we got. Steve Barr said, overall very impressed with the consistent quality of the MCU. I would like to see the great Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. either incorporated into MCU canon or the actors given big opportunities in the MCU. I agree. I loved Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Watched it twice, but Thor Ragnarok just doesn't work for me. Don't understand all the rave reviews. It would be nice if there were a few age segments in the MCU so there could be shows for kids, the existing MCU, and more adult fare, such as a Black Widow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, more like the old Strike Back show.
I'd say that's a fair assessment because most of it is probably in the mid to late teens, like appropriate for that that age bracket. And then, you know, obviously with things that are enjoyable on a more adult level. But I'll be honest, the inner 13-year-old boy in me really enjoyed some of the Ragnarok and Love and Thunder bits.
Me too. I actually just rewatched Love and Thunder a couple of days, or yesterday, I guess. It came out on Disney Plus, and I loved it again. It's silly and ridiculous, but that's what's so great about it. Thor is a ridiculous character. I mean, he's got like a rainbow bridge, and he wears those, you know, the silly helmet. Like, steer into the skid and make him silly.
Right. Nan Imus said, they have fixed so many of the inconsistencies over the years, but how many mystical Chinese cities are there? I didn't think about it that way, but that's fair. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. But I remember in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. there was at least one. Was it in the sky or was it just in? No, in the comics, it was in the sky.
The Inhumans that they meet live in a mystical city somewhere in Asia that's undisclosed.
Yeah, in isolation and understandable.
Yeah, and then Shang-Chi, and then Kamar-Taj is in Nepal, but close enough.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely in the Far East. Yeah. All right. So, how about you, Penny?
I already talked about the first Doctor Strange movie. Just didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. that's true.
And the Falcon's new costume that he gets in Falcon and Winter Soldier is hideous.
So, I think that they were giving the fan service to the people who enjoyed the comic. Mm-hmm. Because that is very similar to what he had on in the comics when he became Captain America. Again, it is very similar to art, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. Yeah. Like I get that. Me personally, I just Thor, and I don't mean Thor the character. I mean Thor and Thor the Dark World. Like some of the plot points were good, but like I enjoyed the Loki Thor stuff, but there was. I like what they've done with Loki kind of overall. I like his character arc. But I just thought he was so one-dimensional in the first Thor movie. And they really kind of fixed that in Avengers. But like Thor was always my least favorite until Thor Dark World came out. And then that was my least favorite. Followed shortly behind it by Thor. I didn't care for those two movies. I did enjoy the silliness of Ragnarok and Love and Thunder. Although I know a bunch of people talk about how they love Ragnarok and how it's like their favorite MCU movie, but it's not that I didn't like it. It's the, you know, hey, there was some cool stuff in there, but like, I think that everything they've done in the last 5 years, and like I've talked about how much we have both enjoyed the MCU shows. Mm-hmm. I think that they've done a really good job. I am afraid of what Young Avengers will be if that's what is coming. I think that is what's coming, but I could talk about the things they've done right forever. But I do wish they had a few more ancillary characters come back. Although a lot of them are actor issues, and by issues I mean just trying to not paying for giant actors because they've got so many people in the MCU nowadays.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately my answer sucks because there isn't too much that sucks. So it's a good problem to have, I think.
That's true. It did lead me to our next Marvel question of the week, just based on my own personal answer, which is whose costume do you think is the best? And I'm not talking about powers. So not, you know, Iron Man, Black Panther, like, yeah, their costumes have all kinds of abilities. But just in terms of looks, like, so which character has the best?
We're doing an MCU fashion show.
Yeah.
Who gets the top prize?
Yeah. I can't wait to hear what people say.
That's definitely an interesting question, and I will have to go back and like take a look because there's so many. Like you could be like, like Spider-Man has like six costumes throughout the movies, and you know Iron Man Mark 42 and the Ironmonger costume. And do you mind if we do kind of an A and B?
Oh, like, not at all.
Best hero, best villain.
The rules on these questions are very loosey-goosey. So just anything you want to talk about costumes, send it in.
All right. Fair enough. I will try to pick my favorite hero and favorite villain.
Excellent.
All right. That's our show. Thanks for listening, everyone.
If you'd like to get in touch or find out more about Podcastica, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
You can write in or record a voice message right there on podcastica.com or find links to our social media pages and other shows.
I mentioned earlier that I'm covering Rings of Power, and I'm having a lot of fun doing that. There's also some other great shows on Podcastica right now. Tales of the Walking Dead, that coverage has been really fun. What are you listening to these days, Greg?
So I've been catching up on Strange Indeed and Lock and Key. I'm really looking forward to Andor. Jonathan and James are going to be covering Andor, and I'm really looking forward to that. I need to watch Handmaid's Tale, like finish it because it's about to come back out in season 5, and I've heard it's just amazing. I just can't make myself hate myself a little bit less so that I can actually watch it. But yeah, so Handmaid's Tale and Andor are the ones that are coming up. Andor is the one I'm really looking forward to. Cobra Kai literally came out today, and I cannot wait to watch the first couple episodes of that so I can listen to Jason and Rima and Richard, I think, cover that.
That's going to be great. I just wanted to follow up on what Greg mentioned earlier, that there's a contest going on this week. One lucky person will win a Podcastica t-shirt, a Kirk Manley Walking Dead poster, and a hardcover copy of the Here's Negan comic book, which is Negan's origin story.
Yeah, so you can win just by, and this one particular time, it is Apple only, because most things are on Apple, and we're really trying to kind of increase our exposure. Following Podcastica shows and Apple podcasts and downloading a couple of episodes of each of them. So She-Hulk cast, Sandman cast, Cobra Kai cast is coming out, cast of the Rings, the Walking Dead cast, Strange Indeed. There's so much amazing content out there, and there are so many people who love talking about them, just like we enjoy talking about She-Hulk. But we'll pick a winner at random on September or Monday, September 12th. And then that person will get all the stuff that Penny had mentioned the aforementioned stuff that Penny had mentioned.
If you want to get all these details in writing, you can go to facebook.com/podcastica and look for the contest post that's pinned to the top of the page. And we're doing this subscription drive because we want to improve our results in searches. That's all. We want our shows to come up in a higher position when people search for either She-Hulk or Rings of Power or Sandman. They're not as high as they should be, and we think people would like them if they get a chance to listen to them. And thank you so much for following us.
Yeah, next time on this podcast, She-Hulk, Season 1, or only season, Episode 5, my guess is, Titania!
I hope so. That's our show. Thanks for joining us.
And for your viewing enjoyment, Donnie Blaze!
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.